is Liberty Bell Smack with your hosts, Mark Mancini, Sal Tartaglia, and Marianne Castello. You are listening to Liberty Bell Smack, the lip smack in trash talking good Philadelphia style on WWDB AM Talk 860, Thursdays from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, prime time, drive time. I'm Marianne Castello, your host of Liberty Bell Smack, and you can listen five ways, whichever works best for you. You can tune in to WWDB AM Talk 860 out of Philadelphia. You're not in Philly? No worries. Tune in to HD2 Radio Station 97.5, or you can download us to listen to us anytime, anywhere at the WWDB Radio app, or go to WWDBAM.com and click Listen Live. Still not good enough? You could call to listen or talk to us at 888-329-3306. And without further ado, here comes our other host. He is a broadcast vet born in Pittsburgh but raised in sunny L.A. You know him from his years in the rink with Extreme Professional Wrestling on TV. He's got over 17 years behind the mic from San Diego to Los Angeles with SiriusXM, the SB Nation American Forces Network, and now Philly on WWDBAM, as well as the Saucy Spin online radio show and the Breaking It Down podcast. If it's sports, he's done it, or he knows all about it. Let's welcome our host, Mark Mancini. Hey, Mark.
I love it, man. This show is going to sweep the country, man. It's the most must-hear radio show right now. We've got a couple of vets coming in here. I'm about ready to throw Sal in the Delaware River.
Well, speaking of Delaware River, he's close by. He's right there in Philly in the studio live. He is a product of the schools and playing fields of Drexel Hills, Delaware County, by way of Southwest Philadelphia. He's been in the Navy. He's been in the construction industry and was a nuclear medicine tech. And while all doing all of that, he even had time to compile over 30 years of highlights and stats of World Series games and published his first book, World Series Chronology. While doing press for the book, he developed a taste for broadcasting, and here he is. Let's welcome our host, Sal Tartaglia. Hey, Sal.
Hey, Mayor. Thanks again. Hello, Philly. I know we're not doing too well with the Braves. It was a chance to pick up some games, but it's still early. Optimism. All right. Let's start the show.
Well, absolutely. And we have some of our commercial sponsors to go to. So let's do that, and then we'll come right back in with our guests. We'll be right back.
Somewhere along the line, the service industry took a wrong turn. But not at the family-owned and operated JT Auto Body, proudly serving its customers for over 25 years. JT Auto Body works with all the major insurance companies, so estimates will be accurate and worry-free. From full body repair to custom paint and everything in between. Located at 416 Primos Avenue in Fallcroft, call 610-534-1643 for expert work done right. JT Auto Body. Service done right.
Hey, Gina, what's the same but different, old but new, and gives you a familiar feeling?
The t-shirt you're wearing with all the holes in it?
Nice. No, it's the all-new Delco Cup. It's Delaware County's newest, oldest neighborhood bar. It's like 50 years old, Gina. That's as old as me.
Yeah, the Delco Cup. New look, new management. You're 51, Mickey. So I take it you want to go?
Kinda, but I know it's Thursday and it's Ladies' Choice, so...
Okay, well, if it's Ladies' Choice, Mickey, I choose a new t-shirt for you to wear.
The all-new Delco Cup, Delaware County's newest, oldest neighborhood bar, 209 Baltimore Pike in Springfield.
Hey, hi, this is John Perotta. When I'm in Philadelphia, when I'm not eating cheesesteaks, I'm listening to WWDB AM 860 and Liberty Bell Smack.
Listening to Liberty Bell Smack right here on WWDB AM Talk 860. And Mark and Sal want to give the guests all their time today. Are you guys ready for our first guest?
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm jacked.
Oh, yes.
Okay, here we go. Our special guest has been a broadcaster, sports reporter, and voiceover talent for over two decades. He received his Bachelor of Arts degree in broadcast journalism from Fresno State University in California. While he was attending Fresno State University, he started his
his career in broadcasting as a sports reporter and board operator for KFRE Morning Sports and as a classic rock DJ for 97.5 The Fox at KJFX while being the sports director of KFSR and public address announcer for football, basketball, baseball, and softball for Fresno State University. After leaving Fresno State University, he worked for KCBL as the morning sports reporter and board operator and was a rock DJ at KRZR. He then became the sports director for KMPH News Radio 107.5 FM and the morning sports anchor for KMPH and AM stations KFRE and KTRB in Fresno, California. He was a researcher for Stats LLC out of Los Angeles, California, assisting talent for the Fox Sports Television Network, and was the voiceover talent for sports highlights for Fox Sports International that included Sky Sport News and FoxSports.com. While doing all this, he was multitasking as the co-host, executive producer, and technical producer of Puck Podcast, which is one of the most popular and longest-running NHL podcasts, giving analysis, interviews, and opinions. It is a year-round weekly show that can be found on iTunes and at puckpodcast.com. As if that's not enough, he works with Premier Networks for Fox Sports Radio Network. You can find him as the update anchor for the Fox Sports Network, currently doing updates from 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can also catch him as an on-air contributor for The Ben Maller Show and Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis. He is providing updates at 15 minutes and 45 minutes on the hour for Fox Sports Radio News Service. He's also the NHL insider for the network and many sports radio affiliates, proving insight on everything happening in the NHL. He has confessed that he plays ice hockey twice a week and has a love for 5-pound cheesesteaks. He's definitely come to the right place for delicious cheesesteaks while talking some smack with us today. After all, it's all about the puck. Let's welcome Eddie Garcia to Liberty Bell Smack. Hey, Eddie.
Hello, that is the greatest introduction I've ever had in my life. I'm not even kidding. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Wow. I'll tell you, Eddie, first of all, legends never die. When are you getting a statue out of the Premier Radio Networks? When are they going to give you a statue?
Yeah, I'm waiting for it. I mean, been there for over 20 years, which is shocking to me, believe me. I'm the longest consecutive running on-air talent that they've had there. So I guess I've done a good job of hiding in the shadows and staying out of people's way. But, yeah, I can't believe it's been over 20 years being at the network, but it's been a great run. I've had a great time not really working for a living, but getting to talk sports overnight and experiencing a lot of interesting callers that call into our show. Being the third shift, you would not believe some of the people that call in and talk to us and some of the states that they are in, if you know what I'm talking about. So we've had callers that are asleep when we go to them. We've had callers that are so intoxicated they can hardly speak. But it's you never know what you're going to get when you go to the phone lines at overnights at Fox Sports Radio. But it's fun. Very fun.
Yeah. The Undertaker and Paul Bearer and his droogs. All in the same thing.
You never know. You never know what you're going to get.
Hey, let's get into hockey. You know, I've always said this. You know, Jackie Robinson changed baseball. Muhammad Ali changed boxing. But I've never seen a guy change 45 hockey beforehand. Next like, time. Robinson, you know, baseball.
Wayne Gretzky.
And what Wayne Gretzky's done by transforming, coming down from Edmonton into L.A., San Antonio, San Jose is coming into the equation. Who knows if we're going to have a team in San Antonio or Houston down the line. But Vegas, Seattle, all these cities, it's all because of Wayne Gretzky. Any thoughts to how prominent this guy has been for the NHL?
Well, look, I was born in Hawaii and raised in California, and hockey is my favorite sport. There's no reason that should be the case, you know, if you think about it, because I didn't grow up with it. But Wayne Gretzky came down from Edmonton to Los Angeles in the 80s. It intrigued me that this great player was coming to Southern California, and it helped turn me and many others into hockey fans. It turned us on to, you know, what a great sport this is. And as you mentioned, it led to San Jose and Anaheim and Arizona and eventually Vegas and Seattle all getting franchises. So his impact on the game, as you said, has obviously been immense, growing the game in places where for some people, it, you know, maybe it shouldn't be, or traditionally it certainly isn't there, but it is, I think it's a great sport. I love it. I, you know, like I said, I play the game, even though I didn't grow up that I probably shouldn't be out there because I'm going to hurt myself at some point. But no, Wayne Gretzky obviously is very influential in growing the game. And then just, you know, his greatness as well as being, you know, the greatest player of all time. So no doubt number 99 is a big reason why I love hockey. And I'm sure a lot of other fans have gotten into that sport as well.
I'll throw one more and then I'll give it over to Sal. When you look at the Kings, they've won 2 Stanley Cups. And boy, I'll tell you, it was great to see them win those cups because, you know, probably the Eastern side of things thought of, the Western guys out here, you know, if how do you play hockey? The weather's 80 degrees out there. You're probably surfing during the day and everything. But they come in, they win 2 Stanley Cups, and that was unbelievable, to say the least. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, look, it was difficult to be a Kings fan when Gretzky came and I decided this was going to be my team because it was the only team in California at the time. I was second guessing that decision for many, many years because they were not very good and they didn't do much in the playoffs when they got there, which was rare. But eventually, you know, you stick with it and they were able to build a championship team, win 2 Stanley Cups in 2 years. And I think kind of reinvigorate the hockey community here in Southern California, get a lot of people interested in the sport, and they've come down from that high a little bit, but they're building back up, and there's a lot of optimism around the LA Kings right now. And you know, I think it's great in any sport when you have a major market that has a very good team, obviously, to get people interested in it. So the Kings certainly have their niche here in Los Angeles. I think it's probably a little more popular than people around the country might think, but as you know, hockey fans are very, very passionate, very, very loyal. And it may not, the LA Kings will never be as big as the Dodgers or the Lakers, but that their core group, their fan base is as passionate as those two fan bases as well. So we're back on the rise here in LA. I'm looking forward to seeing this team make a championship run here very soon.
Definitely.
Well, Eddie, refreshing to hear that you're such an anomaly with your reference to being a hockey fan and without any logical reason. I tend to go against the grain myself too, not with hockey though. But I just want to bring up a little bit that, I was paying attention to this conference and the finals and, Tampa, of course, being 2-time champion and everything. And they were down twice, right? 0-2 in the first couple of rounds and came back. So it seemed like they were, testing fate a little too much. And then, the tradition about not touching the Prince of Wales trophy before you go to the cup, it might have bit him in the ass this year, although they did it the last 2 years too. So evidently they were trying to break a tradition. But what I found so strange was when Colorado's star Kadri went down and they didn't expect him back. And then the first game he comes back, he wins the overtime goal. So his first game back, he wins. There was some, a little controversy about 6 guys on the ice at the time or something. But, it's just don't let the truth stand in the way of a good story. You know, him coming back and then hitting that goal, that was great. But Tampa, they were 0-9 in power plays going into the finals, and it got worse. So that really cost them. It's a shame because I think without that, they looked like they were headed for a third. But what are your thoughts?
Well, in the salary cap era of sports, it's amazing that you could have dynasties. And Tampa Bay winning 2 consecutive Stanley Cups and going to a third final really is an amazing accomplishment to be able to keep their core intact and continue to add pieces while losing pieces. So what they did, even though they came up short of that three-peat, which hadn't been done since the early 80s with the New York Islanders, was incredibly impressive. And you talking about Nazem Kadri coming back from a broken thumb, scoring an overtime game-winning goal after missing a couple of games. You know, it's one of the things that's kind of cliched about hockey, with the missing teeth and all that, but it's also one of the great things about it, especially, if you compare it to the NBA, load management, guys taking just days off for rest.
Right.
You have an off season for rest, It's one of the things that makes hockey, great, and I hope it doesn't change anytime soon. Players really care about playing for their teammates. They really feel a responsibility to live up to their contracts. and they will go out there and play if they are capable in any way. Broken bones, severe sprains, you name it. They're going to get back out there. And it's, you know, they've had to implement rules even, you know, to try and keep these guys from getting back on the ice and doing harm to themselves. But their toughness, their grit, their desire to want to do their job for themselves and for their organization is, it's kind of refreshing in today's sports climate to me. And it's just another thing that endears me about this sport.
Football's similar in that they don't want to come off the field, but it's starting to change too, because they're starting to think of longevity and whatever. And then there's rules and the concussion protocols, but they used to be that way. I remember Jack Youngblood played a half of a Super Bowl with a broken leg. Of course, it wasn't a, it wasn't a weight bearing bone, but that's not the point. You know, just walking on it. He's running into other Mack trucks at 60 miles an hour and on a broken leg. It's crazy, but you're right. The NHL, they're more, I don't know, for lack of a better way of saying it, you're more in touch with the public. They're more like real people you'd sit down and have a beer with, you know. So they go to work because that's what real people do. But, yeah, I wanted to ask you real fast. You've been at Premier for so long. What do you prefer better, broadcasting or reporting?
Oh, I'm much more of a broadcaster. Mm-hmm. You know, I know some people like to refer to themselves as journalists. I've never looked at myself that way. Not that I don't take accuracy and all that seriously.
Right.
But I feel like I'm a sports fan first. I was a sports fan before I got into broadcasting. I'll be one after, probably. And that's kind of where I come from. And I hope that passion for sports comes across in what I do. I certainly want to be taken seriously like anybody else, but in the end, it is sports. It is supposed to be fun. It's entertaining. And that's, to me, my focus on it. So being a broadcaster, getting to talk to callers, getting to argue back and forth with my coworkers on the air, that's the fun part of it for me. I've loved going out and covering major events, and it's exciting to be at events like that. But in the end, it's I'm much more of a broadcaster.
It's great impetus. And the overnight anchor preference you have, real quick, because we have to go to break in a minute. I enjoy SportsCenter at night because of the crew. Stan Verrett and Neil Everett, they make the show so great. I mean, they're very knowledgeable. You get what you're supposed to get, what you anticipate, but they're funny. They get along well. You can see they really, you know, are friendly. So I like the overnight shows, though.
Yeah, the Ben Maller Show, which I work on, he's also been there 20 years as well. He and I are the longest tenured guys there. We know each other really well. We know how to push each other's buttons and have a lot of fun. So it's great.
Definitely different animal at night. Definitely.
For sure. For sure. And the callers are a huge part of it. I mean, sports talk radio with taking callers, it's kind of a dying thing. But having that overnight, I know it's hard to keep up those hours for some people. But for those people who work the third shift, they're incredible characters. And it's really a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And we love to offer everything to the overnight crowd as well here at Liberty Bell Smack. And we will be back right after this.
Hey, Gina, what's the same but different, old but new, and gives you a familiar feeling?
The T-shirt you're wearing with all the holes in it?
Nice. No, it's the all-new Delco Cup. It's Delaware County's newest, oldest neighborhood bar. It's like 50 years old, Gina. That's as old as me.
Yeah, the Delco Cup. New look, new management. You're 51, Mickey. So I take it you want to go?
Kinda, but I know it's Thursday and it's Lady's Choice, so...
Okay, well, if it's Lady's Choice, Mickey, I choose a new T-shirt for you to wear.
The all-new Delco Cup, Delaware County's newest, oldest neighborhood bar, 209 Baltimore Pike in Springfield.
Somewhere along the line, the service industry took a wrong turn. But not at the family-owned and operated JT Auto Body, proudly serving its customers for over 25 years. JT Auto Body works with all the major insurance companies, so estimates will be accurate and worry-free. From full body repair to custom paint and everything in between. Located at 416 Primos Avenue in Fallcroft. Call 610-534-1643 for expert work done right. JT Auto Body. Service done right.
Phil Kulik, voice of the Philadelphia Phillies in Spanish. When I'm in Philly, there's only one place to turn. Liberty Bell Smack.
Because we still want to continue our lip smack and trash talk in good Philadelphia style. And Mark and Sal, We have our next guest. Are you guys ready again?
Oh, sure. Man, it keeps getting better and better. Unbelievable.
Yeah, here we go. Our guest today is one of the nation's best known, most respected, and beloved sports authors whose books have been on the New York Times bestsellers list 10 times. It all started at the tender age of 12 when he found the library book by Frank Graham titled The New York Yankees, An Informal History about the Yankees, and it became his favorite book. He graduated with a Bachelor of Arts degree in Sociology and Psychology from Dartmouth College in 1967. And while at Dartmouth College, he was the sports editor of the Daily Dartmouth and covered some college sports articles for the Boston Globes and the New York Times. He then graduated NYU School of Law in 1970, initially working as a lawyer for the publishing house Prentice Hall in the legal division. He began his writing career by convincing an editor to let him write a book about the Yankees. His book, Dynasty, The New York Yankees from 1949 through 1964, was chosen by Joe Torre as one of the best books on baseball in a 1997 New York Times article. His book titled Teammates is a touching picture book about Jackie Robinson's friendship with Pee Wee Reese. He did such a wonderful job of relating the historic events to school children and what should be a poignant teaching tool in elementary classrooms. So much so, it was one of Redbook's 10 best children's books of 1990. Some of his New York Times bestsellers include The Bronx Zoo, the astonishing inside story of the 1978 world champion New York Yankees, co-authored with Sparky Lyle, being held as one of the best baseball books written. This book was chosen as one of Sports Illustrated's top 100 sports book of all time. Number one, co-authored with Billy Martin, Balls, co-authored with Greg Nettles. Idiot, Beating the Curse and Enjoying the Game of Life, co-authored with Johnny Damon. Personal Fouls, The Broken Promises of Shattered Dreams of Big Money Basketball at Jim Valvano's North Carolina State. American Prince, a memoir, co-authored with Tony Curtis. It is written with humor and grace and is a testament to the power of living the life of one's dreams. Presumed Guilty, Casey Anthony, The Inside Story, co-authored with Jose Baez, exposing shocking, never-before-revealed, exclusive information from the trial of the century and the verdict that shocked the nation. His latest book titled Whispers of the Gods, Tales from Baseball's Golden Age, Told by the Men Who Played It, brings to life baseball greats from the 1940s, 1950s, and 1960s through timeless stories told straight from the players themselves. In 1980, he was a radio sports talk show host on WOR in New York City and was the color broadcaster for the St. Petersburg Pelicans of the Senior Professional Baseball League in 1989 and 1990. He's been a featured guest on many of the top television and radio talk shows, including Biography on A&E, The 50 Greatest Athletes and the Dynasties on ESPN, Good Morning America, Larry King Live, ESPN Classic, and the Yes Network. He has a collection of 250 bobbleheads. He's a Tampa Bay Rays season ticket holder and a workaholic that never works a day in his life. He's not working today either. He's in Philly sitting by the Liberty Bell and talking smack with us. Let's have a big Liberty Bell smack welcome to Peter Gullenbach. Hey, Peter.
Well, now I know what my funeral is going to be like. Thank you very much. Yeah, that was beautiful. Yes, thanks.
Thank you. I don't even know where to start, Peter. I'm going to throw a few. I'll give it over to Sal. He'll throw a few, and then we want to get Eddie on this, get this fatal four-way going. But first of all, you know, when you look at you being a season ticket holder for the Tampa Bay Rays, I don't know if they're going to be in that city in a couple of years. Who knows where they're going to be going back up to Montreal?
No, they're not going to Montreal. They're going to stay in St. Petersburg. St. Petersburg's going to offer them $500 million to build a new stadium. Tampa's offering them $18 million to build a new stadium. And Montreal can't keep a team no matter what it does. So they're not going anywhere.
You know, well, you know, that brings up an interesting point. Why are we talking about organizations in baseball moving? I can remember the Pirates moving out of Pittsburgh, entertaining New Orleans and Colorado before the Rockies got there. the Giants going to Tampa. I'm a firm believer. If you're losing money in this, you know, in your city, sell it to a local investor to keep the team in the city. With that much tradition in there, why are we moving teams? It doesn't make sense. And that's why the Seattle Supersonics moving to Oklahoma City, it didn't make sense. They got to keep these teams in the city from where they start. What do you think? What's your opinion on it?
In baseball, nobody's going anywhere. The only team that might be going somewhere might be the Oakland A's, and they may be going to Las Vegas, and that's because for some reason San Francisco owns that community. The A's have had, you know, some trouble with their attendance. So I've heard that they're going to go to Las Vegas. But most of the baseball teams, they're staying put. Most of the ones who are saying that they wanted to go somewhere, they did so. The idea being they would blackmail the city government into giving them money to build a new ballpark. That's what happened with the San Francisco Giants. It happened with the Minnesota Twins. It happened with the Pirates. They got a new ballpark as a result of their blackmail. I mean, that's just, you know, what owners do to get their towns to build them new ballparks. Happens all the time.
One more, and I'll give it over to Sal. The Yankees, the tradition goes deep. We've talked with Bucky Dent and Johnny Damon, and when you look at these old Yankees with Reggie Jackson and all these dynasties they've won, and now look at what they're doing right now with Aaron Boone leading the charge. Can the Yankees be stopped this year? You know, it's a long season. We haven't gotten to July and August yet, but this Yankee team seems to be hitting on all cylinders. Any thoughts?
Yeah, the thoughts are they're absolutely doing that. You know, you got a Philly team that right now has two hitters. The Yankees seem to have, you know, six or seven really, really good hitters and a couple guys who are actually pretty good too. But it's their pitching. It's their pitching. You know, Nestor Cortez is just brilliant. Your Pittsburgh guy, Pittsburgh seems to give all its fabulous ball players away to somebody else. They gave us, Baz.
Italian. We gave you Italian, Holmes, and Cole. Can you send me a Christmas card?
Clay Holmes is the best relief pitcher in the American League. We saw the Milwaukee closer in town last night, Hader, who was absolutely unhittable. He was unbelievable. But the Yankees have their pitchers are fantastic. Each one of their starters is really solid. And you go with Aaron Judge, who has already hit like 29 home runs, and Rizzo, and you know, it just keeps going.
That's what I was going to say. They do have great pitching. It's not spoken of a lot because of all
pitching.
Well, it's all the Thunder. I mean, Judge has got 30. Rizzo's got 20. Stanton's 18.
That's right.
Boston, they went – let me see. What did they do? It was ridiculous. Oh, my God. They went 20-6, 769 ball in this month and lost ground.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's amazing what New York's doing. They went 22-5.
Well, you know, there's Toronto in this division.
Yeah.
And Baltimore, which is coming along.
Nobody talks
about Baltimore.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, they've got some young talent there.
They had back-to-backs and back-to-back innings the other night, which is strange. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Listen, I don't want to talk about the future. I mean, the present so much because I'm so into dynasties and I have questions. And this is a two-part, real quick one. First of all, how did you convince a publisher? Because I had to self-publish. I mean, you just went to him and said, I want to make a book, and it turned out to be one of the best books in history. Oh, my God. So how did you convince him real fast?
I had, after law school, I went to work for an outfit called Friedman and Fishman.
Uh-huh.
And they gave me a pile of cases, and they told me to look at them and tell them what I thought. So after about 2 months, I came back to them, and I said, look, six of these cases, the 10-year statute of limitations has run. So will you please, you know, what are we going to do about this? So Mr. Friedman said to me, well, you call these people on the phone and tell them they don't have a case. And I said, okay, I quit. That was my law career. That was it. Six weeks. I then looked in the New York Times. They wanted a writer and a lawyer.
Wow.
And that was Prentice Hall in Englewood Cliffs, New Jersey. I went to work for them. I was working for them about 6 weeks. New York Yankees by Frank Graham was my favorite book. And that book was written in 1947. Well, so I was looking through a trade book catalog of Prentice Hall books. And I said to myself, I can write a book as good as these books. And I want to write a sequel to Frank Graham's book. So from 1949 to 1964, which was 16 years, the Yankees won 14 pennants and 9 world championships. So I went down, knocked on the door of the head of the trade book division. His name was Nick Dinchecko. And I said to him, in those 16 years, the Yankees had at least 1 million fans each year. That's 16 million fans. If you can sell 1% of those fans this book, you'll have a big seller.
Right.
So you, and fortunately, he was a Yankee fan.
And you were a two-way player, so there was your in. You were a lawyer, and they wanted you to write. So that was great. But with respect, I got better numbers for you with, you said, 49 to 64. I tried to not make my book Yankee-centric, and it was hard because it's about the World Series. And let's face it, 40 pennants in an 89-year span from their first one from 29 to 2009. I mean, from 21 to 2009. But there was a span, and this is also in documented in my chronology. There was a span from 1921 to 1964. They did not go more than 3 years without representing the American League as the World Series participant. And that's crazy. Not it's more crazy. Than 3 years that they have a drought.
they had wonderful ownership.
Yeah.
The last one was George Weiss, who was a brilliant man.
Yeah.
The only thing that George Weiss did not do is that he was reluctant to bring African-Americans onto the team.
Well, it wasn't just George, you know.
When I was everybody. It's true, but when I was researching Dynasty, they let me into their secret cache of papers, and I found a letter from one of the scouts to the head scout, and it said, there's this player in Birmingham by the name of W. Mays, and you ought to take a look at this guy and sign him.
Yeah.
And they didn't do it. And I was just stunned. If you can imagine, it would have been an outfield with Mickey Mantle and Willie Mays in it at the same time.
You know, he went 0-26 when he first came up. And finally, DeRocher took him aside. He said, kid, stop worrying. You're my center fielder. And the rest, as they say, is history. There might have not been a Willie Mays if it was today's game. 0-26. They'd have sent him down.
Well, yeah. I can tell you, because here in Tampa Bay, we've got some players, Bruhan, Wander Franco, two or three other guys, a kid named Walls, who's a fabulous shortstop. We have Phillips, who's a wonderful center fielder. None of these guys can hit anything.
Yeah.
They strike out 3 times a game. I mean, and they go game after game after game, striking out, you know, 3 times a game. Right. And they just go, you know, we have Kevin Cash, who is the manager, pats them on the back and says, go get them next time. So, you know, I don't know if Willie Mays had come up to the, you know, to the Rays in 2022 and gone 0-26, Kevin Cash would have patted him on the back and said, kid, you're my center fielder.
Well, everybody likes a good story, and we are here on Liberty Bell Smack on WWDB Talk 860, and we will be back with both our guests, Eddie Garcia and Peter Gollenbach, right after this.
Hey, Gina, what's the same but different, old but new, and gives you a familiar feeling?
The t-shirt you're wearing with all the holes in it?
Nice. No, it's the all-new Delco Cup. It's Delaware County's newest, oldest neighborhood bar. It's like 50 years old, Gina. That's as old as me.
Yeah, the Delco Cup. New look, new management. You're 51, Mickey. So I take it you want to go?
Kind of, but I know it's Thursday and it's Ladies' Choice, so...
Okay, well, if it's Ladies' Choice, Mickey, I choose a new t-shirt for you to wear.
The all-new Delco Cup, Delaware County's newest, oldest neighborhood bar, 209 Baltimore Pike in Springfield.
Somewhere along the line, the service industry took a wrong turn. But not at the family-owned and operated JT Auto Body, proudly serving its customers for over 25 years. JT Auto Body works with all the major insurance companies, so estimates will be accurate and worry-free. From full-body repair to custom paint and everything in between. Located at 416 Primos Avenue in Fallcroft, call 610-534-1643 for expert work done right. JT Auto Body. Service done right.
Bill Kulick, voice of the Philadelphia Phillies in Spanish. When I'm in Philly, there's only one place to turn. Liberty Bell Smash.
And We are back on Liberty Bell Smack. I am your host, Marianne Costello, along with Mark Mancini and Sal Tartaglia. We want to continue our lip smack in trash talking good Philadelphia style right here on WWDB AM Talk 860. Normally, folks, we are on Facebook Live, but we're having a couple of technical issues right now. But we are enjoying this show right here, and we could get that out at another time. And, Mark, I'm going right to you to keep all the fun and putting the whole group all back together.
Well, I'll tell you, I want to just sit back. Sal, pass me the Diet Coke. I got the popcorn ready. With Eddie Garcia's resume, 21 years, voiceovers and everything, Peter Gallenbach over there, let them two get in it. Let's get a Joe Frazier, Muhammad Ali. Let's pick some, see if we can pick their brains here, Sal, with these guys. Eddie, you got any questions? Or Peter, you got any questions to Eddie?
Do I have any questions for Eddie? Did you think that the Tampa Bay Lightning would have had a shot this year because it's so difficult after winning to come back? It just seemed to me that these, for them to even reach the finals, to me, seemed like an amazing, amazing accomplishment.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you talk about difficult sports and how difficult it is to win a championship, obviously it's across the board, but in hockey, the grueling pace of these games, the injuries that they endure, it really is a war of attrition. And at the end of the day, the team that's left standing probably is almost as relieved as they are happy that they've won and it's over. I think if you talk to the Colorado Avalanche, who won the Stanley Cup this year, and you ask them about how difficult it was and then ask them their opinion on a Tampa Bay making it 3 years in a row, I think they would say that's mind-blowing that they could endure that physically and mentally and be able to do it. I don't think there was any question, though, that at the end of those games this year, you could see the fatigue, you could see the wear on those Tampa Bay players. And there was a, you know, Colorado was a younger, faster, fresher team, and that certainly did play a factor in them winning the Stanley Cup. I think you're absolutely right. It's just so hard. Again, for all the factors, I think it's a little sad, unfortunately. And I understand we focus on the winners, and Colorado is a deserving champion. But I hope the Tampa Bay story doesn't get lost, because they did come up a little bit short in that three-peat. Like I said, we haven't seen it in the NHL since the early 80s. We haven't seen it in sports, I don't think, since the Lakers in the 90s. So this is obviously becoming more rare and rare. You were talking about the Yankees and those dynasties. It seems like that's something that we're now losing in sports, that it, because of the ownerships, and they want parity, and I certainly understand it for fan interest. But those dynasties, those teams that win back-to-back championships, seem to be becoming more and more rare in sports across the board. So I hope that people will recognize what Tampa Bay was able to do and just winning two in a row and getting to three in a row. It's an amazing accomplishment.
Love the topic, the dynasty. And, yeah, I mean, they kept digging themselves too much of it. You can't be 0-2 in multiple series and expect to, you know, other than that, they may have repeated. And I hate to keep hearkening back to the past, but I'm such a dynasty guy, and they don't exist as much in today's game. And
well, there's a reason for it.
Exactly. Well, free agency is one of them. Injuries, the way they play the game, everything's different. There's no loyalty. But I wanted to ask you, Pete, about these dynasties, right?
Yep.
Of the many that the Yankees had, okay, there was four consecutive 36 to 39, five consecutive 49 to 53. They're the only team that comes as close to them as a franchise is the A's in the 70s when they won three. So of all those dynasties, and they've had others where, you know, 4 out of 5 years, 3 out of 4 years, but I'm talking about consistent and the most in a row, record breakers, these guys, okay? Which would have been your favorite?
Well, my favorite, because of how old I was from 60 to 64.
Okay.
And that was my favorite.
And they were splitting them then.
Mantle, Maris, yeah. Moose Scarron, yeah. Yogi Berra, Whitey Ford. And the wonderful thing is when I wrote Dynasty, I had the opportunity to travel around the country. I traveled 33,000 miles to interview every single one of these people. Maris is in my Whispers of the Gods book. He's in there. Phil Rizzuto is in there. What happened was when I got to the Yankees, Mike Burke was the owner of the Yankees. This was in September of 72 before Steinbrenner came and took over. And Mike Burke was one of those guys who appreciated that somebody was writing a book about the Yankees. So he wrote me a letter that basically said, "Dear former Yankee, this guy is writing a book. Please give him all your cooperation." And the Yankees gave me all the addresses and telephone numbers of all their former players. I spent the next 2 years traveling around the country, calling them and going to see them. And I just had wonderful, wonderful experiences.
That was a break. That's a treasure trove of information right there.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, Peter and Eddie, I got a problem with this, and maybe you guys can help me out. I look at the 2020 Los Angeles Dodgers, and to me, there's got to be an asterisk. When I look at the Dodgers playing a full season, they haven't won a World Series in over three decades. When I look at the Tampa Bay Lightning, and I'm going to bring the Penguins into this because I think the Penguins won two in a row too, but the first year the Lightning won that thing, they played a Montreal team, which I thought was kind of a slight because I thought somebody out of the West should have came out of it. I'm not trying to bring up the controversy in this, but I've got a problem with those two titles, Tampa Bay's first and the Dodgers of 2020. Does anybody else see it like that? Is there an asterisk? Should there be an asterisk on them?
And no, nobody else sees it like that. Not a single person in this whole wide world sees it like that. No. No, no, Mark. No.
Are you going to include the Lakers in there too? The Lakers and their
When the Lakers played a full season. I know they took a couple months off, but they played a full season
were an older team, and that break didn't benefit them.
Yeah.
Hey Pete, you said your favorite years for the Yanks were the 49 to 64.
Well, that was the dynasty years. Those are my.
Oh, you're talking about later, just when Mick was there and all, right?
Well, Mick was there since 51. So, I mean, my first memory in life was Willie Mays catching that fly ball in the Polo Grounds in the World Series of 1954.
Vic Wertz.
I was, seven years old at the time. That's my first memory in life.
Right.
And after that, starting in 55, the Yankees started winning pennants.
So this was the time frame. What are your thoughts about any opinion with regard to when Connie Mack was selling the A's and there was a contingent that were going to buy them and keep them local. And the guy that bought them from KC was a friend of the Yanks and he was a businessman and the commissioner approved it and got him to buy them to bring them out there to be virtually become a minor league outpost for the Yanks. What are your thoughts? You think they had something to do with that? And the reason I believe it's true is because they were their best competition in the early days. They had a couple dynasties themselves, the old A's, but they broke them up. They didn't keep them going. So what are your thoughts? You think they had something to do with that?
The thought was that Connie Mack got old.
No, I mean about the Yanks stepping in. Connie had no power, or he probably would have stopped.
Well, George Weiss, if he could take advantage of his situation, he was going to do it.
Yeah.
The owner of the Philadelphia, then Kansas City A's, was a good friend of Dan Topics. These two guys were buddies.
Yeah.
So George Weiss is going to say, hey, let me make a trade with you. I'll give you these three guys and you give me Roger Maris. This is going to be really great for you.
But I mean, it was so obvious. It couldn't happen today. There's no way.
Of course it could happen today. Of course it could happen today. Are you kidding me?
No.
It could absolutely happen today.
They would step in and stop trades and everything else.
Who would?
Bowie Kuhn started it. Remember, he stopped people when the A's were in Oakland.
Bowie Kuhn was an idiot.
I know. But I'm just saying, when it's not good for baseball, they have the power to step in and stop it. I'm not saying Manfred would, but
actually, you know, when Charlie Finley wanted to sell, he was selling three of his star players, both to Boston. I think Vita Blue was going to Boston.
Catfish to the Yankees.
A couple of his star players were going to the Yankees. Yeah. It was funny. I was working for the Bergen Record, and I wrote a front page article that day saying this is going to change the game of baseball. It's on the front page. The very next day, Bowie Kuhn turned around, canceled all those deals. So made me look like an idiot. It was the only correct move that Bowie Kuhn ever made in all the years that he was the commissioner. Marvin Miller coming. This is something else I wanted to say. One of the reasons we don't have dynasties anymore is it used to have something called the reserve clause.
Right.
Cool. What the reserve clause said was that if you signed a ball player at the end of the season, automatically the team that owned him could reserve him for the next year. Okay? So you don't have any free agents. These guys aren't jumping from team to team to team to team to team during these years. Right. This was started by Al Spalding back in 1872 when he put the reserve clause contract into all the major league players' contracts. So you got to keep these people forever until they quit or died. So one of the reasons the Yankees had such a dynasty is that they had this core of wonderful players, yeah, and they couldn't leave.
Right.
Let me ask you something, Peter, and then we'll find out about the 5-pound cheesesteak that Eddie Garcia craves.
Good idea.
But in the last 52 years, to me, and this is just one man's opinion, I don't think there's been a better hitting team than the 1976 Cincinnati Reds in the last 52 years. Any thoughts?
That was a team you could have had the entire All-Star team could have been those Cincinnati Reds.
Right.
Every one of those guys could have been on the All-Star team that year. Oh,
there was a year five of the starters were Reds. And then a little bit later, we got that too. The Phillies, we had like three or four one year.
Not like that.
Tony Perez, you had all of those guys. Right. The best second baseman who ever played the game ever. You had Concepcion. You had a wonderful group of players there.
Bench.
You can't much argue with that. They were fantastic.
Eddie's starting up the grill. What's with the 5-pound cheesesteak, Eddie? You're going to keep Philly moving.
Well, I tell you what, I've only been to the great city of Philadelphia once in my life. I went to cover the 2014 NHL draft in Philadelphia. Being a lover of food, obviously I had to partake in a cheesesteak. Now, I know it's Pat and Geno's and the rivalry and all that, but I happened to see a TV show called Man vs. Food. The host, Adam Richmond, was trying to consume a 5-pound cheesesteak in an hour at Tony Luke's.
Yes.
And I thought that was a good idea. So I went down to Tony Luke's. I got the 5-pound cheesesteak. I'm sitting in front of me. It looks delicious. I'm ready to eat it. And I happened to look over to my right, and I saw a young man who was being cheered on by his friends as he was trying to finish the 5-pound cheesesteak. He was a young man in the Navy. His Navy buddies were cheering him on. And he looked like he wanted to die. He was sweating profusely. He looked miserable. And I watched him shaking as he took the last bite and he finished it. And his friends were happy. And he looked like he wanted to die. And I said, I'm not going to do this. I would like to thank that young man, wherever he is, for convincing me this was a bad idea. So I ate about half of it,
right,
and I saved the rest of it for the next day.
Exactly.
I was very full. It was delicious. But if it wasn't for that guy, I would have tried it. And God knows how I would have felt. I don't think I would have been able to do it.
I thank him
to this day that I did not try to do that, because he looked like he had one foot in the game.
Yeah, if you're going to regret it, it takes away the enjoyment. Listen, one real question, because we're going to break up in about a minute, I think. I see something on the screen. But I wanted to ask you about your voiceover highlights. Was that like an NFL Films thing, like what Facenda used to do, the voice of God?
No, it was not. It was not nearly as poetic and dramatic and entertaining. It was very straightforward. But it was the greatest job I think I've ever had. Because frankly, it was so easy and so much fun, and getting to do highlights
you explained what was going on in the highlights, right?
It was very straightforward, kind of like you would see on your traditional Sports Center highlights. You know, this player threw for this many yards and this many touchdowns to this player, and they won the game.
Oh, it wasn't like theater and choreographed.
Nothing like that. It was just the highlights of the night. It wasn't kind of a season recap or anything like a championship recap. I would love to try and do something like that, but I don't have the John Facenda voice, I can tell you that.
Yeah, the voice of God.
I can't believe it, because we've learned so much between Peter and Eddie on this show tonight. And I can't believe that hour goes by so fast. It really does. So I have a question for you, Eddie. If people want to get in touch with you or, you know, do voiceovers, who knows, with you, how do they do that?
He picks talent, man. He looks at everybody. He's checking everybody out.
How do they get that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on the Fox Sports Radio Network overnights, as you mentioned earlier. If you're a night owl or if you work the third shift, we'd love to have you check out our show, The Ben Maller Show. There are people who truly don't believe that. They think we hire these people as characters to call into the show. Believe me, we do not. It is just unbelievable the type of the interesting folks there are out there in the night. But that's on the Fox Sports Radio Network, iHeart Radio, Sirius XM as well. And I have a podcast I've done for 16 years every week. We've missed one episode, the Puck Podcast. You can find that on iTunes. So, yeah, I'd love to interact with the sports fans in Philadelphia and all across the country. It's been a great time.
That's fantastic. And I'm a night owl, so now I'm going to have to stay up and actually do this. And I promise I won't be one of those crazy people in the middle of the night. So, Peter, how do people get in touch with you, or if they want to find your books and things like that?
Well, you find my books, you can go to Amazon. Or if you want to buy them used, you can go to abebooks.com, buy them used for $2. Or you can go to a bookstore if there are any more left. As far as coming to find me, you just come knock on my door.
That sounds great. It's been fantastic having you both on the show today. And we like to end every show with a chant. Can you guys just hang out for 2 minutes just so we can wrap up and have you guys included in that? We love to have you.
Absolutely.
Okay, here we go. Well,
it's a chant to go Phillies. We're going to go
Phillies. Oh, I'll tell you what to do as we go to do it. I promise I'll give full instructions. I promise.
How's Sam Fuld doing, by the way? How's Sam doing? He was a Tampa Bay Ray for a while, and he was a wonderful guy.
Who was that?
Sal?
He's a Philadelphia Phillies general manager.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about a player. I did.
See that?
They've lost interest.
Well, I'll tell you, Middleton really, I don't know if they even need a GM because Middleton pretty much makes moves, and I don't have a problem with him. He's like Steinbrenner without the acrimony, you know, and he's involved. He knows the game. He spends his money, and they're talking about going after Ian Happ from Chicago to try to fill the gap for Bryce. It's not going to do it, but, I mean, Atlanta did it last year when Acuna went down. You know, okay. So we got to do something. We got to get some help.
You got to do something.
Well, he's not out all year either. They already said that. They expect him back.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Speaking of coming back, we will be back next week right here on WWDB AM Talk 860 with our special guest, the host of 100 Yards of Football Sports Talk Radio, Logan Landers, and retired NBA basketball player Craig Helo. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, Helo. Cavaliers. He always sends Michael Jordan a Christmas card, he says.
Well, I'm really excited about that. And you could join us every single week here Thursday nights from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, primetime drive time if you're in the East, for that lip-smacking, trash-talking, good Philadelphia style. I am Marianne Costello, along with Mark Mancini and Sal Tartaglia for Liberty Bell Smack. Now, Eddie, Peter, we love to end every show with our chant. And the way we do that is we count it down like New Year's from 5 to 1, and we all say Liberty Bell Smack all together now. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Liberty Bell Smack. That's what I'm talking about.